sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. And you've got the pleasure this morning of listening to Ken McBride from Chicago Title. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today.
Well, that's awesome. I promised them that we were going to talk last week. We talked a little bit about safety. We were talking majorly about how realtors need to be safe, how they need to keep their clients safe, how to keep a client safe. And one of the things that we keep harping on, and frankly, it's getting worse rather than better, is wire fraud. Can you kind of tell us what's going on?
Yes. Let me tell you, basically, it stems from a compromise of email accounts. And there are a lot of email accounts out there. Many of them are free to the individual that's using the account. And some of those accounts are vulnerable to having someone seize that account or at least be able to access that account and read the things that are on that account. And for example, if a person is going to, let's say, wire money to a title company for the earnest money for a purchase of their property, then they might send an email asking for wiring instructions. And those emails are frequently intercepted by criminals. And these criminals will send an email on to the title company from them, with perhaps a slightly changed email address.
From the criminal.
The criminal will say, we're going to wire you this money. Please send us the wiring instructions. Well, the criminal gets the correct wiring instructions, and then they forward wiring instructions that are fraudulent to the customer. And then the customer sitting there with these fraudulent wiring instructions that appear to have come from the title company, and they wire their money, and within a short period of time, that money is on its way out of the country to international criminals. And this is happening at a remarkable rate and huge amounts of money. We request, and all of the title companies request, that before someone wires money, they call the title company, they call the title company on a telephone number that they feel is secure, because these criminals are so clever that they will provide fraudulent phone numbers, and they'll say, if you don't believe this is correct, or give us a call, and they have people waiting at those fraudulent numbers to assure the customer, oh yes, this is perfectly good, please, you know, proceed. And it's an elaborate and successful fraud that's being played on people, and the title companies, all of the title companies together, are working hard to make sure that people call and verify those wiring instructions before they wire their money.
Well, and sometimes it's a lot more than earnest money that they're wiring. Sometimes it's the money for their entire purchase or their entire down payment and closing cost.
Yes, and it's sometimes a large amount of money, and you know, the amounts of money that are involved in this are staggering. And if you want to see an interesting report, go to the FBI's webpage, FBI.gov, and look in there under the wire fraud, business wire fraud, and business email compromise, and they have the numbers in there that have been reported to the FBI. And the numbers are huge, and people just need to, you know, a lot of people are only involved in a real estate transaction, you know, once every 4 or 5 years, And one of the things we're trying to do is to say, remember to verify wiring instructions before you send the information to your bank to wire any money.
Well, and when you verify with your bank even, be sure that that is a number that you got from your bank, not what's included in the email.
That's correct. It needs to be verified. It needs to be verified and call a known telephone number to verify that those wiring instructions with your title company. And, you know, and I'm sure that there's someone out there listening to this that says, well, how can the criminals do this when I'm wiring my money to a named title company at this this account number and this routing number? Can they set up accounts all over America that are in the name of various title companies? And the truth of the matter is, no, they don't. They set up accounts or they use accounts of other people that are in other names. But many financial institutions don't compare the names on the account. They only compare the account numbers. Let me give you an example of how elaborate this has been. A story was shared with me of an older lady in North Carolina who one Saturday morning found her porch to be full of FBI agents. And they were all ready for some type of encounter. And they came to her door, and she was shocked. And they asked her, they said, "Ma'am, is this your bank account?" And she said, "Yes, it is." And they said, "Well, did you give anyone else permission to use this bank account?" She said, "Oh, yes. This very nice man that I've been talking to over the phone for the last 2 months said that he had a transaction where he was selling some property here, and he didn't have a bank account in the United States, and could he use mine?" And I said, "Okay."
Oh, my goodness.
Unbeknownst to her, she had become part of an international fraud scheme, and her bank account was one of those accounts that was used to misdirect fraudulent wires. And then, of course, as soon as it got into her account, it was transferred either to Russia or China or some other place. And it's unfortunate when people, you know, lose their hard-earned money and someone steals it in that fashion.
Do you know, Ken, I had something strange happen a couple weeks ago. I looked at my calendar as to what I was going to do that day. I always look the night before to go, okay, how many appointments and where am I going to be? And I had an invite on my calendar at 8:00 in the morning for the following morning. And I looked and I was going, who would put an invite on my calendar at 8:00 in the morning? I mean, we have a team meeting, so everyone on my team knows I'm not available then for outside business. And I got a little bit of a clue when it said dearest. Dearest, I got your email off the internet because I'm looking for a trustworthy person in your company, in your country. And the $6.6 million was tempting, but but I have never, it came as an email invite on my calendar to be a part of some scam. So they get very creative. And I asked Michael LaRousse, Master Sergeant Michael LaRousse with the Oklahoma City Police Department, who was my guest last week. And he said, I told him, I said, "Well, I wish I could find these people. They are extremely creative. I could probably use them." And he said, "Well, you would probably have to buy their plane flight from Nigeria."
Well, and that's true. We are attacked constantly. I had one of the technology people in our company. Of course, we're part of a nationwide company, and he indicated that our company alone gets attacked at least 6,000 times a day from China.
Oh, my goodness.
Just the China attacks. And these are attempts to get in, get inside our system, get inside. And I'm sure that every other company has at least that many or more.
Right. I think public Wi-Fi probably has a little bit of something to do with that, to where anybody can go by with a scanner and kind of get into your phone. I think airports are a big problem. So,
well, we all are at risk of someone taking advantage of our technology vulnerabilities. And I know that there are lots of people working hard to protect us. I know in our company we've got people that's their job is to provide cybersecurity. But nevertheless, it's like they say, our cybersecurity people have to be successful all the time. The cyber criminal only has to be successful once.
That's true. And then they get big payday.
And then they get a big payday. And a lot of businesses have these type of problems.
Well, we appreciate that you're listening. And we're going to talk next about taxes and how they're prorated at closing and what can go wrong. Right after this break, with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move with Becky Ivins and my guest today of Ken McBride. We've been talking a little bit about wire fraud and how it can go terribly wrong. And you must be careful about transferring money by wire, because once it's gone, it is gone and there is no getting it back. Has anyone ever lost any big money, Ken?
In
the title business,
there are people that have lost as much as $50,000 from a wire been misdirected. We had one circumstance that took place not in Oklahoma but in another state, where this was a commercial transaction, and there was a law firm, an out of state law firm, handling the transaction. And because they were wiring $300,000, our closer called them to verify and make sure that they were verifying with the customer the wiring information. And the law firm said, "Don't worry, our email is totally protected. Nobody can get into it. We're good." And of course, as soon as they said that, then their email had been hacked, and someone was sending their customer the wrong wiring information, and it became the responsibility of the law firm to make up for the $300,000 shortfall.
Wow, man, so big money can be lost, and it is non-retrievable.
As a general rule, yes. I will say this, that our company has lawyers on call 24 hours a day to obtain a restraining order to freeze that money. Almost all of it goes to a bank in the United States first before it leaves the country. So if you can get it and freeze it before it leaves the country, we have retrieved thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but we don't retrieve it all. And we've got to move very quickly and get some restraining orders, freeze that bank account, and then go in and take the necessary steps to retrieve that money. Some of it is retrieved, but you can't count on that. You just need to make certain when you wire that you have, we just say, before you wire, inquire.
Oh, yeah. Pick up the phone and call the person you know at the phone number that you have called previously.
Right. And, okay. And determine that you've got a legitimate phone number. Call us. We will be happy to verify those wiring instructions.
Okay.
And that really goes for every title company.
Well, let's switch gears just a little bit, and let's talk about taxes. When you go to a real estate closing, the seller pays for the portion of the year that the seller has lived in the property or owned the property. And then the buyer pays for the rest of the year. So there's a proration. You pay for your portion. That happens at closing, but what really bothers me sometimes is when the seller's paid for, say, maybe 9 months of the year, and then it comes tax time, and the seller forgets. They don't get a tax statement anymore. Where's the tax statement sent?
Well, the tax statement is sent generally to the property address, unless they're instructed to send it to a different address.
Okay.
And so we do have a place. Normally, there is a place on the deed where the there will be an instruction of the location where the tax statement is to be sent. But we one of the reasons this is such a good topic, Becky, is that we get a lot of questions from people who have bought property. Let's say they bought the property at the end of June, halfway through the year. And so let's just say, for example, their tax bill's $10,000. Well, $5,000, half of that annual tax bill, will be shown and be credited to the buyer, and paid by the seller to the buyer in advance. And the problem gets to be that at the end of the year, the buyer gets the whole tax bill, the whole $10,000, and frequently has forgotten that they received a credit for that earlier in the year.
So they feel like they're paying all of it.
Yes, and that's something that I can see how it's confusing, because you received the credit. It's not like you're receiving the cash. You're going to have to pay that full year's tax bill. Normally, you will pay it out of your escrow, but some people don't have an escrow for their taxes, and you're going to have to pay that tax bill with cash. But what you received, as a general rule, most contracts provide for you to receive a pro rata tax credit in connection with the closing, and so it's a credit against the money that the seller would have received.
Right. So, and taxes can be quite a lot, like you said. I mean, they can pretty easily be $5,000 nowadays for a year. And so what happens if the house isn't built yet? I mean, maybe it wasn't built and finished until May.
Well, this is another issue that needs to be discussed. Most, the taxes, for example, the exact ad valorem, and we're talking property taxes here. There are a lot of different kinds of taxes, but to be sure, we're talking ad valorem property taxes. If the actual taxes for 2019 are not yet ascertainable, they generally should be ascertainable around October.
Right.
And when that happens, when we have that October number, then we will use that number for the proration. But most contracts provide for there to be an estimate of those taxes based on the best information we have available prior to October.
Okay. So we will continue this conversation. We've got more to talk about. Time for our news break. And I'm talking with Ken McBride, who's president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma, and my favorite place to close. It really does matter where you close. And we'll be right back after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. If you want to call us, well, if you want us to help you with any question, just call and ask a real estate question sometime. We get that a lot. We get that from other realtors. We get that. I mean, you know, just people going, I just always wondered this. I'm happy to talk to you. It's 722-3232. 722-3232. I am here with Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title. What's your market share, Ken? Is that fair to ask you?
Well, it is fair. We're in the residential resale market. We're about 28-29%. We've got the number one market share in Oklahoma County, and we're very proud of that, and we're working hard to maintain it.
Well, and you guys do quite a bit in other counties as well, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So I know that even when you're not the abstractor in a county, I still want to close with you because I know it'll be right. I can depend on your company, and I love it, every location of your company. Time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you with an insurance claim, to just help you pick out the best shingle for your house, to talk to you about the slope of your house, the decking under, the shingles that are on it, and to just do a small repair. Whether you've got insurance or not, you're going to get a competitive price from Robbins Roofing. You can trust them. It's 728-3700. Call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is prorate. We use that a lot, prorate, Ken. So you can tell us how we use it in our closings, but it basically is to divide, distribute, or assess proportionately, right?
Right, and okay. It's... You know, the way we use it is if there are charges that are an annual charge, that the parties contract for that charge to be prorated. We rely on the terms of the real estate contract between the buyer and the seller. But frequently, for example, if we had a homeowners association dues that were annual dues of $1,200, and they were selling halfway through the year, normally there would be a proration of $600 to the buyer, $600 to the seller. And like I said, that doesn't really come out as cash. It's really used as a credit from one side and a debit to the other.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I want to tell the listeners, if you know a realtor or a builder, please, if you are a builder or a realtor or a developer, we have a fabulous educational event coming up at, it's put on by the Sales and Marketing Council of the Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association. I'll be facilitating a panel discussion, question and answer, and we have awesome people on this panel about HOA. It is a 3-hour continuing education credit pending. It is for the builders. It's already been approved. It's pending for realtors. Kind of expect that to get approved. And it talks about HOA and what they can charge, what they can't charge, and how those are done. So that's August 1st at the Central Oklahoma Home Builders Association. Feel free to call my office. Or call the Central Oklahoma Home Builders to sign up for that. By the way, it comes with lunch. And it's only like $20 or $30. It's ridiculously cheap. So a 3-hour educational program with a lunch on August 1st. So be sure to be aware of that. But our HOA dues, sometimes they're paid by the quarter. Sometimes they're paid by the month. Sometimes they're paid biannually or annually. So how do you know what to do when you prorate dues? Several HOAs I know, their fiscal year ends on June 30th, right?
Yes, and that's, you know, there are so many things that can be different from one HOA to another that it's so very important that you're dealing. You know, this is one of many circumstances where having the assistance of a professional realtor can make all the difference in the world. because just like the course you mentioned, realtors are trained in how to deal with HOAs. They're trained in the types of questions to ask, the types of information to get from the HOA documents, and to make sure that everything is done properly so that you don't end up with a surprise when you've bought this property that's subject to a homeowners association.
Well, and the homeowners association provides a letter to the title company, right? The HOA letter. And those are beginning to cost a lot of money sometimes. Used to, those were free. Just whoever was a treasurer or president of an HOA would send out a letter saying the dues are paid, they're this much a year, and please prorate based on what the annual dues are.
Yeah, and at this point, you're right. That has become sort of a little bit more formalized, and the formalization of that process has caused there to be a cost associated with getting that information, but we rely on those letters, and they're really important to indicate the status of the homeowners association dues. If there are dues that have not been paid for some time, the amount due could be a sizable sum, and it could be very important in the process.
I tend to list a lot of properties of people who hate their HOAs and haven't paid them for 9 years. And they know when I list their property, I go, well, you know you're going to have to pay that at closing because the title company cannot issue title insurance if there's a big lien against it from your HOA or a potential lien due to non-payment. And they go, I know, we're going to have to pay them, but I've held out this long and I'm not paying it till closing.
Well, that's unfortunate, because the homeowners association is frequently involved in things that are for the benefit of all of the property owners in the area.
Right. And homeowners associations are different than neighborhood associations. Neighborhood associations are voluntary. The tenants that live in a neighborhood can belong to a neighborhood association, whereas homeowners, it's what it says. It's the owners of the properties in that neighborhood are members of that association, and tenants don't get to vote on anything. It's the homeowners. Well, depending on their bylaws, I suppose. But the HOA is one thing that can be prorated.
Yes, that's a typical example. If you've got, for example, like I said, an annual $1,200 homeowners association payment, then that could be prorated between the parties so that depending on when the closing occurs. And just like the word prorate means, it's based on how many, it's divided up, how many months that the seller has lived in the property and owned the property, and how many months is the buyer of the year, is the buyer going to be owning the property, and divide that total amount by those months.
And then the seller gets credit for yes. them. If they've already paid those dues,
they get
a credit.
They get a credit for it, and if it's paid at the end of the year, then they would get a debit.
So we're talking about prorations. We're talking about what the title company does, how to really be sure that everything's correct. That's up to the title company, but you have to get the right information. We're going to be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate, leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team. You can call me any day of the week. I'm not going to be sitting there on Sunday morning at the office, but I've got someone that can help you. And it's 722-3232, and I look forward to hearing from you. I am here with Ken McBride from Chicago Title, and we're talking about things that can be confusing at closings. What's sort of confusing?
Well, we get a lot of questions about the 1099. Some years back, there was a federal law that was passed that required it actually required whoever's handling the closing, which around here is usually some type of title company. It required whoever's handling the closing, the settlement company, to provide to the IRS an informational 1099. And what's very confusing about that is that the instructions that that law contains and the regulations that were issued under that law require that we provide information on the entire sales price that the seller is getting for the property, so that it may sound like we're showing that the seller received, you know, the entire sales price, when actually, you know, there may have been a mortgage paid off, there may have been other things paid in connection with the transaction, and the entire sales price is not the amount that the seller actually received from the closing. And so there's frequently confusion, but the reportable amount is not necessarily the taxable amount. And so the reportable amount is the entire sales price of the property.
And you're required to report under certain circumstances. Let's just go over those. You have to report if it has been a rental property for more than, well, if the owner has not lived in that home for the last two out of the last 5 years, then you have to report.
Yes.
Okay. If they've used any part of the property as a rental, that where they've depreciated on their tax return.
Yes.
You have to report that.
Yes.
If it sells for more than $250,000 and it's a single person selling it, you have to report.
Yes.
If it's over $500,000 and it's a couple, you have to report.
Absolutely.
Seems like I'm missing one question there, but maybe not. But many times you have to report even if those things are true, because it's held in the name of a trust.
That's true.
And the trust, you have to report that.
Yes.
And again, just because the title company reports it does not mean it's a taxable event.
Yes. And it doesn't mean that we're saying that that's taxable income.
No, because if you sell a house, unless someone gave it to you for free, and you're selling it for $350,000 without one bit of expense to sell the property, and we all know you've got to pay a little bit of money to bring an abstract to date and that kind of thing, there's going to be things that are taken away from that, the price you paid for the property. You need to talk to your tax professional about that, because the title company is not your lawyer. They have lawyers, a lot of them, right?
Yes.
But they're not your lawyer. They're not your tax accountant. They just have to abide by the laws set.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that because it's a federal law, we comply. And we will comply with this law, and it's not one of these things that we have any choices about. And then frequently people are confused, and they say, I didn't make this much on my house. Why is this on my 1099? And it's because the reportable amount is really not the taxable amount.
Right. Like, I've owned property in an LLC that was rental property, and we sold it. Well, that's reportable for the total sales price. Now, I don't have to pay taxes on the total sales price, because my CPA figures out the bases and all the, you know, all the things I can deduct. And yeah, you've got to pay taxes on rental property if you've made a profit. But if you don't make a profit, then there's no tax to pay typically, right?
Well, there are a lot of other factors that go into determining what your actual taxable income on the property, your taxable receipt would be, but it is seldom is your taxable amount the same as the reportable amount on the 1099.
Right. What other confusing things are there in that take place in a closing that you can think of? I think one of the most confusing things is who has to sign to sell a property. And, you know, somehow folks don't quite understand that as a spouse, you might need to sign even if you're not in title.
That's very true. Becky, our state has a very strong homestead law. And this homestead law confers a marital right on the spouse. And it was set up at statehood. This is something that's been a part of our heritage for a long, long time, that one spouse cannot take your home and sell it without the other spouse signing on the deed just as well. I have heard someone explain that the original purpose was to keep one spouse from losing the homestead in a poker game.
Oh, well, we'll end on that note. That's pretty funny. We've been visiting with Ken McBride from Chicago Title, and we are lucky to be able to have you as a guest, Ken. If you want to close your property, maybe you've got some transfer between one family member and another, call Chicago Title. Go to BeckyIvins.com. Look at Becky's favorites. It's going to be on there. So until next week, I bid you farewell and tune in to hear more of Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.